Isaiah chapter 11 and Luke chapter 2 is where we will be at today. So however you engage with Scripture, I encourage you to find Isaiah 11 and Luke chapter 2. And as you're finding those two places, let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you, Father, for the gift and the influence and the inspiration of words like hope, joy, faith, and peace. And Father, we pray at this time that your word would speak to us afresh. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that is wide open to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Whether it comes from little comments from lines from Star Wars, where you've got Emperor Palpatine making this statement about the Sith have come to bring peace. Peace is all over the media. It's all over movies. It's all over songs. It's everywhere when you kind of think about it. And everybody has different interpretations or different ideas of what peace should really, truly be about. Star Wars, peace comes through domination and through power and through the elimination of one's enemies. Then Emperor Palpatine says, we shall have peace. I can hear, I've seen the movie too many times, I can hear his voice kind of echoing in my head. This will bring about peace. And promises from all sorts of different media, all sorts of different mediums, that this will give you peace, or this will bring you, this will establish within you happiness. This will give you joy. This will give you contentment. In other words, this will allow you to inhale and then exhale. It will bring you peace. It will bring you joy. It will bring you happiness. It will give you contentment. If you do this, buy that, conquer this, win this, then you shall have peace. One of the things I am asked and I ask others during a spiritual direction session is, what is a place you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you go there, you will have peace? I'm going to do that right now this morning. We're going to take 10 seconds. What is a place, an actual physical location here on earth, that if you were at, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you could inhale and you could exhale and you would be at peace? Go there now. And as you find yourself there, what would it mean for you to have Jesus there with you? What if Jesus would meet you at that place? Be a little bit deeper sense of peace. Be a little bit deeper sense of joy. Be a whole lot of happiness. But then you would truly, truly be at peace. Not because you won something, not because you bought something, not because something was gifted to you, but because the presence of the Prince of Peace is there with you. There is this scene in John's Gospel, in John chapter 1, where Jesus tells Nathanael that, I saw you while you were under the fig tree. Jesus was there with Nathanael long before Nathanael had any clue that the Prince of Peace was there with him. There is much to say and ponder on the wonder and the reality of peace. Shalom in Hebrew, and the root of the definition of shalom is wholeness, completeness. It includes a lack of violence. It includes a lack of tension. It includes a lack of division. But the root of the word shalom means wholeness. It means completeness, not lacking anything. It is the lived reality of Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, and He is there with me. The invitation of Psalm 23 is peace, and the reminder that we need to have reflective time on what this word means, and the response and the invitation to surrender to the peace of God in Jesus. Out of all the books in the Bible, the word peace is found most often in the prophetic book of Isaiah. 25 times exactly, which isn't a whole lot in a book that's really, really long and large. But I would guess that wouldn't be the one place you would say, hey, that's where you're going to find the word peace most often used is in Isaiah. But it is. Two parts of Isaiah that I want us to focus on for just a moment, that Jesus filled full of meaning. First one comes from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government, the rule and reign will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jesus fulfilled full of meaning each and every single one type of foreshadow that's mentioned there in Isaiah 9. And what's interesting and a good discipline is to reread those two passages and insert Jesus' name. For to us, Jesus is born. To us, Jesus is given. And the government will be on Jesus' shoulders. And Jesus will be called, and Jesus is called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of Jesus' rule and reign and peace, there will be no end. Jesus will reign on David's throne and over Jesus' kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Another passage that we're going to read in its entirety. And I invite you to hear Jesus in these passages. I invite you to be at your peace place, wherever it's at. And be with Jesus there. And hear these words from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. Infants will play near the hole of the cobra. Young children will put their hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. As I'm reminded of these passages from Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 11, I keep on, and yes, I'm making an Ohio State reference, but this image has just stuck with me this Advent season. And while each week I've shown the image of Mary and Eve, this image has been my Advent image for the year. After what happened with the Michigan-Ohio State game and the debacle, the chaos that was taking place during all of that, where you've got this anti-peace going on with, this is my field, even though it's not your field. All this chaos, this other kingdom going on in the midst of all of that. This is what you have taking place right outside of all of it. You have a Michigan player and three Ohio State players praying together. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus declares in a pretty famous statement of his. This has been my Advent image this year. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of power, in the midst of control, in the midst of winning, in the midst of all of this stuff that we face on a day in and day out basis from the world, we have this. I'm reminded of not so among you. The world does things a certain way, Jesus tells his followers. Not so among you. The invitation of this moving word, peace, in the Christmas story is declared from the angels in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And shortly after the birth of Jesus, involving this too often forgotten character named Simeon, we have his story. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms. Anybody ever stopped reading the story and like, what was he thinking? And why did Mary let it happen? I think Mary may have had a word or two. Joseph may have had a, like, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? You will not take this baby out of my hands. But it's not how the story goes. Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. When you read about the birth of Jesus, it's almost as if the book of Isaiah comes to life and it's filled full of meaning. Isaiah 9, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 51, Isaiah 60, all filled full of meaning. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, Peter asks his audience to respond to what they have heard with a simple and yet profound question. What sort of people ought you to be? So with all this information about who Jesus is, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, all of these images given to us in Isaiah 11 about a result of what will happen when God shows up, when the Messiah finally arrives. All these metaphors, all these images given, all these paradoxes that are presented before us. With all of this information, 2 Peter 3:11 echoes in the back of my head. What sort of people ought you and I to be? The invitation to respond to the peace of God is to be and to become a person of peace. Because none of us are there yet. We're all still on a journey. But because we're on a journey doesn't mean that we quit. It means we keep on going. We pursue to be and to become a person of peace. In four areas I want to present to us this morning that we can all pay attention to how we can embody this powerful, wonder-filled word called peace. The first one is a person of peace. A person of shalom does not possess, does not control others or situations. Some of us in our relationships, some of us in our positions, our platforms that we are given in life, the circumstances that we find ourselves, too often have this tight-fisted type of reality to them. We want to control, we want to possess, we want to dictate everything that goes on. A person of peace leads a more open-handed way of life. They've got it, but they don't control it. They don't possess it. This is different from somebody who is all about getting things done, the follow-through, the follow-up. But control the process and attempt to control the outcome. A person of peace desires trust, not control. And a person of peace knows this about himself or herself and works to live a little bit more open-handed than tight-fisted. One of the absolute beautiful peace statements from Jesus, where Jesus doesn't even use the word peace, but lives it, is twofold. The first one is, not my will. Garden of Gethsemane. God, not my will, but yours be done. God, I know you've got this. And I'm not going to try to control it nor possess it. Not my will, but yours be done. And the second one is this. into your hands, I commit my spirit on the cross. Jesus does not use the word peace once in either one of those scenes of his life, but he fulfilled what that word means and what it looks like. Not my will, but yours be done. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. But far, far too often in our lives, fear drives and fuels our anxieties and our desire to possess, our desire to control. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John chapter 16 and verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, the stuff will hit the ceiling fans and it will go everywhere. But take heart. I have overcome the world." John chapter 20, verse 19. "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Some of us, when the anxiety of our lives get the best of us, when the fear of our lives get the best of us, and we live like this instead of like this, some of us need to go to that place of peace. We need to go to that place where we can inhale and we can exhale and we can be content. And when you're there, hear the words of Jesus. "Peace be with you. I've got you. I am with you all the way. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you." One more, John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." A person of peace, a person of shalom, does not possess, does not control others, does not control situations, does not control outcomes, but lives open-handed. Second one is, a person of peace pursues patience. A person of peace in the 21st century must be proactive in combating the desire of instant gratification. And there's not a single one of us in this room that aren't a part of this idea of instant gratification. The spiritual discipline gifts of silence and solitude help with that desire. Third, a person of peace prepares for the storms of life by fixing, by building, by planting the foundation of our lives on Jesus. A person of peace prepares for the storms of life, because if they're not here today, it doesn't mean that they're not going to be here tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Hebrews author says, "Fixing your eyes on Jesus." So your direction, the spotlight of your soul, the spotlight of your heart is directed towards Jesus. Fixing our eyes, our attention, our direction on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, right after the greatest teaching, the greatest sermon that has ever been given, Jesus says, "Whoever hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Storms came, winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Storms of life came. The winds and the rain blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a mighty crash. And then I hear 2 Peter 3:11. Now that you've heard these things, what sort of person will you be? Fourth one, a person of peace practices peace with others. And you notice this word practice, because being a person of peace does not come natural, and it does not come easy, because there's not a single one of us that doesn't want to be number one. There's not a single one of us that doesn't want control. There's not a single one of us that doesn't want to be the person. But a person of peace practices peace with others. Those players on that day a few Saturdays ago lived to the fullest. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Make every effort. To make every effort means you have to be proactive. It means you have to be aware. It means you have to be paying attention. But it also requires practice. It requires doing. It requires going and being proactive and being a person of peace by practicing peace with others. And be holy. Be set apart. In the midst of the chaos of life, be people on the outside praying instead of participating in the chaos that's going on. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Next slide is an image of Augustine of Hippo, 4th century early church father, whose historical works such as The City of God and Confessions, he's most known for these. And by and large, he's probably one of the greatest theologians that has affected Catholic theology and Protestant theology throughout the centuries. He's probably one of the greatest theologians ever. But he had this to say at the end of his one work called Confessions, which is all about, it's about repentance, but it's about this full conversion of drawing oneself to the Lord. Because he lived a roller coaster ride when you pay attention to the life of Augustine. And this is what he has to say. Great are you, O Lord, and exceedingly worthy of praise. Your power is immense, and your wisdom beyond reckoning. And so, we men, we women, who are a due part of your creation, long to praise you. But we also carry our mortality about with us. We carry the evidence of our sin, and with it, the proof that you thwart the proud. You arouse us so that praising you may bring us joy. And then here's the line that he's most famous for. Because you have made us and drawn us to yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Wherever you are at in your walk with the Lord, wherever you are at in your journey, if you've come here this morning and you are the opposite of peace, don't leave here like that today. we would be more than willing and more than eager to listen to you, to pray with you, to walk alongside you so that you can see the beauty and the power of the Prince of Peace and live a more directed life full of peace in Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Stand with me, church. As we close out our service, again, if you would like to receive prayer, please come down here and see me. Miss Kathy Knobloch is our lady prayer warrior today. She will be out by the prayer room. We will also have a shepherd out there as well. If you would like to receive prayer, if you would like to be listened to, however we can serve and pray with you, please don't hesitate to come and see us. But let's pray together and then we'll worship. Father, each and every single one of us here in this room and those who are worshiping online are on a journey with you. And God, we pray that the words from your word this morning have drawn a clearer picture to us about what peace is all about. And help each and every single one of us, God, to pursue, to practice, to draw near to you and to your peace. Help us to believe that you offer it to us freely, God. And help us to pursue it and to chase after it. We love you, God. We thank you for this season. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for Jesus, our Prince of Peace. His name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.